Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming into your homes, institutions, and automobiles with another Christ-exalting program called The Voice of the Gospel. And you know the word gospel means good news or glad tidings. And friend, I trust that there's someone out there in Radio Land today who is waiting to hear the good news, the glad tidings that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yes, He died on the old rugged cross for our sin. He shed that precious blood without which there could be no remission for sin. So friend, if you've never been saved and born again, I trust you'll give heed to the message today to listen to what God, the Holy Spirit, has to say. Now before we get into the message today, let's listen to a lovely tune, and it's entitled, I Love to Tell the Story.
I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus.
Today for the truth of that hymn. Yes, I love to tell the story. And God knows I've been telling the story since the day I was saved, back on June the 2nd of 1952. But how about you, friend? You who profess to be children of God today, how often do you witness and testify to the saving grace of God? Well, friends, today again I'm going to test the concern of you Christian listeners. I want to know just how much concern you have for the souls of your unsaved friends and neighbors and relatives. Now, you profess to be a child of God, and if you're really born again, you know that you have been delivered from eternal damnation in the fires of hell. Now, friend, here's the test. If you really are saved and you have a real burden for souls, then just stop whatever you're doing and ask someone to listen to the broadcast. Please, friend, right now, while the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your soul, telephone that friend or neighbor and ask them to listen to the program. You know, if we Christians put our Christianity into practice, I believe there would be fewer souls in hell today. Yes, if we stop to think where our friends and relatives are going to spend all eternity if they die unsaved, well, there's one thing sure, we would do absolutely everything possible to lead them to Christ. Because, friend, if they're not saved soon, the likelihood is they'll not be saved at all. Listen, Christian friend, have you ever stopped to think where you would be today if someone hadn't taken the time to tell you about Jesus Christ? Have you? Suppose no one had a concern for your soul, and you went merrily on your way into eternity. What would you think of the people who could have told you about Jesus Christ, but didn't? Well, friends, I read in Ezekiel 33 and 7, where God says, "Warn them from me." And then in the next verse he says, "If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." So, friend, please, please call up someone right now, and at least you'll have a clear conscience if they continue to reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let's ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence today to thank thee afresh for thine unspeakable gift. And Lord, we thank thee for the grace of thy Son in coming from heaven to earth to die on the cross for our sin. We thank thee too, Lord, for having extended the day of grace so that we might have this blessed privilege and opportunity to tell forth the wonderful story of redeeming love. Father, we pray thy blessing upon thy word wherever Christ is being preached today. We pray thy blessing too upon those of thine own who are calling up some unsaved friend or relative and telling them to listen to the broadcast. Honor their faith, our God. Honor their concern. Honor thy Son and thy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, today I would like to direct your attention to four separate portions of the Word of God. They're all found in the New Testament with the exception of one. The first is found in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 19. "For it pleased the Father that in him," meaning Jesus Christ, "should all fullness dwell." It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now then, the second scripture is found in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. Here we have the scene of the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we read in verse 17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now for the scripture, the third scripture, and it's found in the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Now then, for the fourth scripture, and here again it's found in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Well, friends, today I've read to you four well-known portions of the Word of God. And in these four scriptures, the Holy Spirit of God brings before us the fourfold pleasure of God. Yes, we read of four instances which brought pleasure to the God of heaven. Now, in our first scripture, Colossians 1 and 19, we're told that it pleased the Father that in Him, meaning Jesus Christ, all fullness should dwell. Yes, God was pleased to manifest Himself in the person of Jesus Christ, His Son. In the next chapter, Colossians 2 and 9, we read that in Jesus Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Friend, when Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven, He was the Son of God becoming the Son of Man, so that we sinful sons of men might through faith in Him become the sons of God. In 1 Timothy 3 and 16 we read, great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. Yes, Jesus Christ left the bosom of the Father. Yes, He left God's throne above, and He entered the bosom of the Virgin Mary. Why? So that He could redeem the sinful creatures here on earth. And friends, don't ever lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ only came to seek and to save sinners. In Luke 19 and 10 we read that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. In 1 Timothy 1 and 15 Paul declares, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ Himself says in Luke 5 and 32, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Friends, it brought pleasure to the heart of God when His Son willingly left the ivory palaces above to enter the stench-filled stable at Bethlehem. Yes, God loved the world, and He wanted to see His fallen creation in fellowship with Himself. So the truth of John 3 and 16 is dear to the hearts of countless millions today. Listen to this. This is John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Sinner friends, it pleased the God of heaven to become incarnate so that you and I could be redeemed and brought back to God. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Oh, how I marvel today at the grace of God manifested in His Son. Over in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 we read, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Now friends, let's take a look at our second text for today. Here it tells us of another of the fourfold pleasures of God. In Matthew chapter 3 we read of the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as He was coming up out of the river Jordan, a voice from heaven was heard to say, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Friends, it not only pleased God to send His Son into the world, but every word, every thought, and every deed of the Lord Jesus Christ brought pleasure to God. When the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, it pleased God. When the Lord Jesus Christ gave sight to the blind, it pleased God. When the Lord Jesus Christ cured the sick and suffering, it pleased God. Yes, and when the Lord Jesus Christ raised the dead, it pleased His Father God. Sinner friend, even before He left the presence of His Father in heaven, the desire of Jesus Christ was to please His Father God. In Psalm 40 verses 7 and 8, He says prophetically, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of Me. I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. Again in John 6 and verse 38, Jesus Christ declares, for I came down from heaven, not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me. So you see, my friends, the Son of God was obedient to the will of His Father. And neither wonder God declared, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Sinner friends, obedience to God always brings pleasure. You recall in Genesis chapter 4, when Cain and Abel each brought an offering unto God, and how God had respect to Abel's offering, but He had no respect for Cain's offering. Why? Abel was obedient to the principle of blood sacrifice, whereas Cain sought to please God with the efforts of his own hands. Sinner friend, we can't do a thing to please God apart from having faith in the blood of his Son. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we read that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And a sinner can only bring pleasure to God when that sinner acknowledges in his heart that he's a lost, guilty creature in God's sight, and then places his trust in the precious blood of God's Son. That's how you can be saved, sinner friend. It's simply taking God at His word and trusting in the finished work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we can only please God when we're obedient to the pleadings of the Holy Spirit. Today I thank God for the obedience of His Son, because in Philippians 2 and verse 8 we read that He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now then, let's turn our attention to our third text for today, Isaiah 53 and 10. And again we read of something that brought pleasure to God. Here's what we read. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief. Now friends, I believe we're treading on holy ground. Yes, we're treading on holy ground as we seek to comment very briefly on this verse of Scripture. Here in Isaiah 53 and 10, we're told that it actually pleased the Lord God to bruise His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now friends, I've only got a mere finite mind, and my comprehension and understanding is therefore quite limited. But friends, if I live to be 1,000 years of age, I'll never be able to understand how it could please God to bruise His Son and put Him to grief. No, I can't understand how God could love a rebel sinner like me so much that He would pour out His wrath upon His dearly well-beloved Son, the one who was wholly harmless and undefiled. Sinner friends, I must confess that I'm lost in holy wonder and amazement at the truth of 2 Corinthians 5:21, which tells me that He who knew no sin was made sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Yes, Peter also declares in 1 Peter 3 and 18 that Jesus Christ was the just one, dying for you and I the unjust, so that He could bring us back to God. Sinner friends, God is a holy, just, and righteous God. He hates sin with an infinite hatred. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, was willing to become our sin-bearer and suffer for our sin so that we could escape the wages of sin, which is spiritual death and the lake of fire. Yes, during those 3 hours of darkness on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was subjected to the full wrath of the Holy God against sin. And all the terrible wrath of God due unto you and I as sinners was poured forth upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither wonder He cried from the depths of His soul, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Oh, friends, the reason the Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken was so that we would not be forsaken. Yes, He was ready, willing, and able to suffer, bleed, and die in our guilty room and in our stead. And I thank God that Jesus Christ bare my sins in His own body on the tree. Over in Isaiah 53 and 6 we read, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord God hath laid upon Him, meaning Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Oh, thank God for the blood of His Son, which alone cleanseth from all sin. Now friends, please don't get the idea that God is a sadistic God who rejoices to see people suffer. Oh no, that's not the kind of pleasure we're talking about in Isaiah 53 and 10. Friends, as I muse and meditate upon this verse of Scripture, the only conclusion I can come to is that God was pleased with the death of His Son because it was the only way whereby sinful creatures like you and I could be brought back into a new and proper relationship with God. Yes, apart from the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there could be no salvation for your soul or mine. In Acts 4 and 12, the Apostle Peter declares, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself declares in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And sinner friend, If you're ever going to be in God's heaven, you'll have to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as your own and personal Savior. Now, there's no other way, friend, so don't try to please God by your so-called good works or church membership or religious rituals. It just won't work. In Titus 3 and verse 5, we're told that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy He saves us. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Listen, sinner friend, if you and I could do anything to merit or inherit the kingdom of God, then why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? No, He had to die. If we were to live, He had to die. And friend, because He lives today at the right hand of His Father God, we have adequate proof that God the Father was well pleased with the death of His Son. Yes, and if God is well pleased with the death of His Son, why shouldn't you be, my friend? I know I am. I'm completely satisfied with the finished work of Christ. It pleased God, and it pleases me. And if it pleases you today, my friend, you can be saved. Yes, you can be born again. Now that leads us to the fourth and final text for today, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. And there we read that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Here we read that it pleases God when the gospel is preached. But why does God refer to the foolishness of preaching? Well, a little earlier in that chapter, in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, He declares, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." In other words, the unsaved sinner today, in his unregenerated condition, considers the gospel of Jesus Christ as foolishness. He has no time for the Word of God. He has no desire to have fellowship with his Creator. And there's no fear of God before his eyes. Friends, the preaching of the cross may be foolishness to you, but I want you to know, to those of us who are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Friend, I wouldn't care if everyone in the world today were laughing me in the face. I wouldn't care what they said about me. I've got Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, and what need I more? Now perhaps someone is wondering why the preaching of the gospel should bring pleasure to God. Well friends, the reason is simply because it brings glory to God. Yes, when the gospel is preached and souls are saved, more glory is heaped upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It adds virtue and value to His death at Calvary's cross. Yes, and there's rejoicing in heaven, even over one sinner that repenteth. Now perhaps there's someone listening in today who has never heard the gospel before, and you're wondering what the gospel is. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, we read that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Friends, the gospel is the good news or glad tidings that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on the old rugged cross for our sin. And since He died for our sins, and if we trust Him as our Savior or sin bearer, then we go free. It's just that simple. Yes, thank God, if we as poor, lost, hell-bound sinners acknowledge and repent of our sin and place our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we'll be saved. We'll be born again. Yes, we'll be spared the eternal torments of hell. In John 3 and 36 we read, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Now perhaps the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to someone listening to my voice today, and you'd like to be saved. You'd like to be born again. But the devil, the enemy of your soul, is telling you that you should put it off for a more convenient time. Friend, listen. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. God says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Again in Proverbs 27 and 1, God says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And then I think of that most solemn and ominous warning given by God in Proverbs 29 and verse 1. Listen to this. He that being often reproved or warned, hardened his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Well, that's it, sinner friend. Today you've heard the fourfold pleasure of God, which is found in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you have to make a decision. Yes, you're making a decision right now, whether you realize it or not. You're either choosing Jesus Christ or the devil. You're choosing heaven or hell. Yes, you're choosing eternal life or eternal torment. And friend, as you make your decision for or against the Lord Jesus Christ today, remember this all-important fact. It makes a difference for all eternity whether you're right or wrong today. Yes, destiny is determined by decision. So friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence to thank thee again for thy Son. We thank thee, our God, that he was the personification of thy love and mercy and grace to a fallen race. We who deserve not even the least of thy mercies, we've been plucked as brands from the burning. And our God, the heart's desire of thy people today is to see others brought into the family of God. So we claim thy promise that thy word shall not return void. Save souls to his honor and glory alone. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. And if I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. I've got a lot of good basic and fundamental gospel tracts that I'd be willing to send to anyone who can prayerfully use them. If you're listening in today and you're unsaved, and if you have some question about God's way of salvation, friend, you write to me, and I'll answer your question according to the Word of God. That address again is the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. Until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.